right, folks, welcome back to the Game Trail Podcast. Back again with another episode, as promised. I know the last time I recorded an episode, I asked you guys if you would send in some suggestions, if there was anything that you guys wanted me to approach, talk about, and hopefully offer you some ideas. Hopefully I can be of help. And I took a request from a young guy, and I apologize. I should go back through my DMs and find your name, but I apologize. If you are listening, you know who you are. But essentially, this individual said that he's just getting started in applying for big game hunts in the West. Younger guy, I want to say he's in his early 20s, probably college student. I've got a 19-year-old. He's in college, so I get it. I know how, you know, broke and poor a lot of you guys are, myself included, I guess. But I remember what it was like to be a college student, be trying to apply and find hunting opportunities in the West. But this individual asked me, he said, I'm really interested. I would like to have the opportunity to hunt moose, sheep, goat, you know, maybe bison. I would really like the opportunity to hunt one of those species or as many of those as I possibly can in my lifetime. And he was asking me, where should I start applying? Where should I start building points? And, you know, for what opportunity should I really be looking at if that is kind of my main goal? And it got me thinking. Typically, when we do application strategy style videos or application strategy articles, I think there's a lot of time where we tend to kind of gloss over those species and the way that those draws work, because typically the easy answer is that, you know, it's not really worth the squeeze. The juice isn't really worth the squeeze in a lot of cases. And I think it's because it's hard to justify the cost to applying for some of these hunts, and the odds of drawing these tags are so low. I think we kind of gloss over them a little bit. So I did want to answer this guy's question, and I thought this podcast would be a good opportunity for me to go through state by state and really cover the draws for those species. Typically, people kind of refer to them as once-in-a-lifetime species because in a lot of cases, it is a once-in-a-lifetime permit, meaning if you draw it in that state, that's your last chance that you're ever going to get to apply and hunt that species in that state. So pretty commonly referred to these once-in-a-lifetime species, but I did want to address it today and run through, like I said, every Western state and address moose, sheep, goat, bison, and how those draws work, and maybe give you guys some ideas on where I think that you've got your best bang for your buck. Before I get really started and diving into it, I want to preface it and tell you guys out there that the odds of drawing a permit for these species are extremely low. And that is regardless of whether you're just starting out or if you've been applying for decades. In almost every case, the odds of drawing a permit for one of those species is less than 1%. It's really tough. So I wanted to preface that and just let you guys know that really your chances of drawing those are slim to none. But if that is your goal and you really want to hunt one of those species, I do think it's worth covering and I think it's worth talking about. And I myself apply for a lot of those species in the various states. So I want to try to kind of outline what my strategy and my approach is to that. So before I dive into kind of meat and potatoes and run through the individual states, I did want to hit you guys with a promo. You guys can use the promo code GAMETRAIL. That's GAMETRAIL. If you decide to purchase a Go Hunt Insider account, we're going to give you 50 points back in the Go Hunt gear shop. Also, if you use that promo code GAMETRAIL, you can get 10% off on almost all products in the gear shop. So you can redeem that at checkout and you can get yourself some dollars off on your purchases there in the Go Hunt gear shop. So use that promo code GAMETRAIL, sign up for an insider account. You can tell that I'm already heavy into research season and I'm already thinking about hunts for the future. I probably spent, half hour on the phone yesterday with Chris Neville, who's my buddy. He used to work here. We were kind of working through our strategy for this upcoming year and really looking at hunts that we want to try to draw. So it's time to really get yourself an insider account and dive in and start doing the research and prepare to apply and get yourself a permit for this next year. Hopefully it's, you know, a tag for one of these really cool species, like a bighorn sheep or a moose. That would be awesome. Also, I wanted to thank Matthews. Matthews Archery is a sponsor of the podcast. They make a phenomenal bow. They just launched their brand new 2025 bows. I was out two mornings ago shooting this Lift X, and I was doing a little tinkering with some stabilizer weights, also testing out a brand new dialed sight. But I love shooting that bow. It's a lot of fun to shoot. So get yourself to the local Matthews Pro Shop and shoot the brand new Lift X or the Lift RS or even the Long Draw Lift, the new one. I believe it's called the I'm losing it right now. But you can check that bow out if you're one of those taller guys. Hopefully the shop has one and you get a chance to shoot it. But appreciate Matthews. Those guys have been good partners of mine, and I just wanted to thank them for sponsoring the podcast. So with that, I'm going to approach this podcast on a state-by-state basis. I'm going to run through each individual state, and I'm going to kind of talk about the nuances of each individual draw for these once-in-a-lifetime type species. So the first state I'm going to address is my home state of Utah. I live here in Utah, so I figured it'd be a great little starting point. So Utah's draw system for these limited entry species and also these once in a lifetime species is a hybrid draw system where 50% of the tags are allocated to the people with the most points that apply. The other 50% are randomly allocated in a draw with bonus points, giving you an increased chance of drawing over time. So if you apply for one of these hunts, you're unsuccessful in the draw, they're going to give you a bonus point. And over time, the more bonus points you accrue, the better chance you have of drawing a random tag. Now, in Utah, you do have to buy a $120 hunting license when you apply. And since most tags, especially for these once-in-a-lifetime species, there's almost always only one tag available for any given hunt, those are always going to be randomly allocated. So, excuse me, like I said, you can apply for bonus points only, but my advice to you would be is if you're going to buy that hunting license, don't apply for a bonus point. Apply for a hunt because those are randomly allocated and you never really know when lightning might strike and you'll draw a great tag of lifetime. I've known guys that have drawn cheap tags with 4 points. You know, no people that have drawn with no points. So always apply for hunts in a state like Utah where it's a random draw where there is a random component of the draw. So typically I wanted to talk a little bit about the sheep species. So non-residents can actually apply for any and all species that you want in the state of Utah, including Shiras moose, you know, Rocky Mountain bighorn, desert bighorn, mountain goat, and bison. So typically for desert bighorn sheep, there are 5 hunts or 5 units that you can apply for, and there's often one tag set aside for a non-resident that they can draw within that draw. Like I said, you know, your odds get better over time with the number of the number of bonus points that you have. But there's a lot of people in the system that are applying for those hunts. So I actually went through and pulled the statistics. It looks like there's almost 19,000 non-resident applicants in the system with anywhere from 1 to 31 bonus points. So the random odds, like I said, are going to be less than 1% across all point levels, regardless of how many you've got, even if you've got as many as 30. Just for interest, I did look at, you know, the best unit in terms of draw odds. So that was the Escalante unit for desert bighorn sheep. But even still, it only had 0.22% with a high number of bonus points. So as you can see, this is going to be a battle we're going to face this entire podcast. You guys are going to see just how tough it is to draw those tags. And looking at Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep, there were 4 Rocky Mountain or California bighorn sheep hunts that non-residents could apply for. Each one of those hunts allocated 1 tag per person. And it's similar to desert bighorn sheep in the amount of applicants that are in the system. So there's about 18,700 non-resident applicants in the system with anywhere from 1 to about 27 bonus points. When I looked at odds, the box elder hunt, which is a California bighorn, had the best odds. And even that was 0.22%, and that was with 20 bonus points. So you can see, again, like I said, don't anticipate your odds, especially at this point with this many people being in this system, of ever getting really that much better, even if you stay in the game. But here's the thing with Utah and a lot of states. If you're going to buy the hunting license, like I said, that $120 hunting license to apply for species like elk, maybe general season deer, antelope, for the application fee, it may be worth it to you to apply for these types of opportunities for once in a lifetime species, just in case you randomly draw one of those permits. And if you really want to hunt one of those species in your lifetime, you're going to have to face the fact that you're just going to end up having to play the game in as many chances as you possibly can and hope that you get lucky. I wouldn't anticipate counting on actually drawing ever those, any of those in your life. But if that really is your goal, you're going to have to really face the facts that you're going to have to play the game and you're going to have to pay in on these various state draws to even have a chance, even if it's a 0.2% chance. So just food for thought, something that you got to work through your head and really start to stomach and get used to before you even get into it. For Shiras moose in Utah, there's typically been 6 hunts that non-residents could apply for. All of those hunts allocated, there were only 2 that allocated 2 non-resident permits. So the rest only allocated 1 permit. The reason it's interesting that there were a couple units that allocated 2 permits means that one of those, for each one of those hunts, is going to be allocated to the person with the most points. The other one's going to be randomly allocated. And saying that, it's probably not that big of a deal because it's going to require somewhere in the neighborhood of 28 plus bonus points to guarantee one of those bonus point draw permits for one of those 2 units. So for a lot of us, it's kind of a moot point. You know, there's only a couple people that are going to be even in the mix for those bonus point permits. The rest of us are all going to be in that random pool. And really, any one of the units can be a good hunt. Same with desert bighorn sheep. Same with Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep. In a lot of cases, this might be my advice to folks. If your odds are going to be so low, I mean, what is really the difference between, you know, 0.1% and 0.2%? It's really low. Your chances of drawing are still astronomical. So in reality, it might be worth it to really think about what your objectives are for the hunt. If your objective is to harvest a ram, you might want to look for units where the harvest percentage has been higher. If you're really interested in trophy potential, you might want to take a look at the best trophy units and apply for those, because the reality is the odds of drawing between those and, you know, low tier or any unit might not really be that different. So just food for thought. You want to think about your objectives when you apply for hunts as well as odds, and maybe even more so in terms of your trophy objective, your harvest objective for a hunt than odds when you're considering these species. Because if you do draw, you want to have a chance to harvest. So that's just food for thought. I took a look at the best draw odds for moose in the state of Utah, and it looks like there was one unit, the North Slope Three Corners unit, had about 0.39% odds, and that was with 26 bonus points. And like I said, all 6 of those hunts had random tags that were available to non-residents, and they were all, you know, less than 1%. In recent years, Utah has offered about 7 mountain goat tags to non-residents for 7 different hunts. And there was even one that was offered that was an archery-only tag on the Nebo unit. So all non-resident tags are going to be randomly allocated. All the odds are less than 1% through the entire point range. I did take a look, and the best odds for any, you know, individual unit would be the UNS East, and it had random odds of about 0.66%. You know, the archery hunt might be intriguing if you're a diehard bow hunter. A lot of mountain goat hunts in the state of Utah are going to be, you know, your traditional mountain goat style hunts or some real remote country, especially in the northeastern part of the state. I would say if you're really looking for probably the easiest mountain goat hunt in the lower 48, should you draw it, you might take a look at the beaver unit because you can't access the road clear to the top of that unit. But, you know, think about applying for Utah for mountain goat. And like I said, your odds are super tough, but you never know. Utah does offer quite a few free range bison tags, and it's a little bit less than it has been, but there still were 15 non-resident bison tags last year, and they were randomly allocated. So There were no tags that were allocated to High Point holders as of last year. And of the 15 tags that were available to non-residents, four of those were cow bison only. So you want to be aware of that when you apply. The odds for cow bison were better. So if you're not hung up on trying to hunt a bull bison, you might want to take a look at the cow bison hunts that are available to non-residents. Again, similar odds, less than 1%, except for the Book Cliffs Little Creek South area, which had odds just over 1%, but that was with 22 points. But, you know, it did have slightly better odds for an any bull bison tag. And like I said, those cow bison hunts, they typically have better odds. And those are actually, you know, in the neighborhood of 1% to 3% when you compare those with the other bison hunts that are available. They're, you know, they're decent. It's hard to say that they're decent, really, but they are slightly better. So, like I said, if you're not hung up on hunting a bull bison, you just want that experience to hunt bison in, you know, free range unit in the state of Utah, whether that's the Henrys or the Book Cliffs, you might consider applying for a cow tag. And there are some archery permits that are available, so that might be interesting to you too if you're a diehard bow hunter. So that kind of wraps up Utah. I'm sure there'll be a lot of other questions. And really, as I go through a lot of this, I'm going to kind of hit this, some of it like a 30,000 foot view for several of the states. But all this type of information can be found within your Insider Research account. And as we launch those application strategy articles for each state and species, that's really going to give you the opportunity to fine tune your hunt strategy and pick through those and really find the units that are most applicable to you. The next state I wanted to cover was Idaho. So Idaho is interesting in that you have to buy a $195 hunting license to apply. And then Idaho is different in that they require you to pick the species that you apply for. So a non-resident applicant can apply for deer, elk, and antelope, or they can apply for one of the quote-unquote once-in-a-lifetime species like moose, sheep, or mountain goat. They can't apply for all three of those species. They have to pick one. So because there's a couple of high hurdles for non-residents, one being the $195 non-refundable hunting license fee to apply, and then the fact that you can only pick one of those species to apply for, the odds are actually better for these species, moose, sheep, goat. So I would highly encourage you to take a look at applying in Idaho. And kind of the way I look at Idaho is if I'm going to buy a hunting license to try to buy an over-the-counter elk tag or a general season deer tag when those go on sale here December 10th, which is coming right up, you know, I'm going to apply for a controlled drawing. Now, typically I'll apply for deer, elk, and antelope controlled drawings because I feel like that gives me the opportunity to apply for three different species. Whereas if I apply for moose, sheep, or goat, I only have the opportunity to apply for one species. But if one of those species is really on your bucket list, I would highly suggest you take a hard look at Idaho. If there is another, and I should say this, there is another potential downfall in applying there, and that is if you apply for a moose, sheep, or goat tag, you do have to front the cost of that permit. So the cost of that permit is going to be $2,957, so $2,957. Now, the bulk of that will be refunded. All of it, but about $330 would be refunded if you were unsuccessful in the draw. So $330 is a pretty significant cost to just essentially have a random chance in the drawing. But like I said, Idaho does have better odds because of these hurdles, things like fronting the cost of it, having to pick your species, having to buy a hunting license. All these things are potential downfalls, and I agree with you. I get it. But it also has the opportunity to increase your draw odds because there just aren't that many people that are willing to leap over those hurdles. So I would say definitely take a look at Idaho. It is a random draw, completely random, no point system whatsoever. So be aware of that. when you look at the draw odds for bighorn sheep, they are still mostly less than 1% for non-residents across the board. If you look at moose, the draw odds are quite a bit better. So you may range anywhere between, you know, 2 to 8%, which 8% for a Shiras moose draw odd is actually pretty high. I would say it's the highest of any of the states that offer Shiras moose tags. It's hard for me to say that it's worth the cost that you have to put up to apply when, you know, you can still go to Alaska and hunt moose over the counter and put your money towards that year over year. But for some people that really want to hunt Shiras moose in lower 488, it does have the best odds. Mountain goat odds typically range from about 1% to 3%, and those are also better than other states that offer mountain goat hunting to non-residents. So if one of these species, moose, Shiras moose, sheep, bighorn sheep, mountain goat, if those are on your list, I would definitely take a look at Idaho. Now, does it make sense for everybody? It probably doesn't. I typically do not apply for moose, sheep, goat in Idaho because, like I said, I'm trying to maximize and get the bang for my buck, which I feel like for me is in deer, elk, and antelope. But consider Idaho. I mean, take a look at it. One other little nuance about the Idaho draw we get asked about quite a bit is every year people look at our draw odds and they'll see a draw odd displayed for a sheep hunt, for example, but it won't show that any permits were allocated. So in that permits allocated column of our draw odds, it'll just show a zero. Everybody always asks us, how can you have a draw odd when there wasn't any permits? And that has to do with how Idaho actually conducts their draw and how they allocate licenses. So Idaho has a 10% statewide species cap on those species. And essentially what they do is they allow people to apply. And once they fill up or allocate 10% of those permits with the applications that they consider, they close down the draw to non-residents and every other permit for one of those species is going to go to a resident. So that's why there can be draw odds for units that don't show that permits were allocated. You have a chance to draw, but really it just depends on what 10% of the people are first out of the pile that are allocated permits. And like I said, they're going to shut down that draw to any more non-resident applicants, and they're going to allocate those to residents. So just be aware of that when you look at draw odds. I know every year we get questions about it. And if you got a question, further question, you know, hit us up. We can answer those. Next state I was going to jump to was Montana. So Montana is actually a relatively cheap state to apply for non-resident moose, sheep, goat, and bison. You really only have to buy the base hunting license, which I think is about $15, 10 or 15 bucks, and pay an application fee per species that you want to apply for. So for those three species, it's going to be $50. And you'll only be charged the cost of the tag, which is $1,250 if you draw. So the draw for moose, sheep, goat, and bison are not all the same. So the draw for bison has no point system. It's completely random. So that might be intriguing to some people because you're essentially on the same equal playing field as everybody else that just started applying. So you might want to look at that if you're really wanting to try to hunt bison anywhere in the, you know, the lower 48 or, you know, in Montana specifically. The draws for moose, sheep, and goat are a true bonus point system, meaning it's a random draw. The more bonus points that you have, the better your odds get over time. Now, when you apply for those species in Montana, you can choose to purchase the point when you apply, or you can wait to the point-only purchase time frame in the summer and buy your points. You can also apply without ever purchasing points at all, which is $75 per species. You can still apply and you're still entered in the draw. You still have a chance. But like I said, your odds are not going to get better over time because you're not purchasing those bonus points if you go that route. Now, in saying that, their point system for these species is about 25 years old at this point. And if you look at the odds, they range anywhere from, you know, 0.001% to maybe 5% at the very top end of their bonus point system, so that 25 point range. Montana's odds actually do get better if you look at it, and it's hard to say, you know, if that'll persist given the number of people that are in the system. Their bonus points are not super expensive, being $75 a piece. For me, that is a state where it's definitely worth some soul searching and trying to decide if you can make your budget work for one or all of those species in regards to buying a preference or a bonus point. So, because they do get better. I mean, if you look at down through the odds, there are some odds for those species at the top end of the spectrum that are 5-6%. Now, that's not high. Your chances that you're going to draw are still low, you know, but you know, 5% is definitely better than 0.001%. You'd really just have to decide what it's worth to you. In essence, you would be buying a, you know, $70 bonus point for each one of those species over the next, you know, who knows how many years, 30, 40, 50. So it's going to add up. That money's going to add up. You'd really just have to decide if you've got the income to throw at that. For me, I don't. I don't actually build points for those species. I still apply for those species up there in Montana, but I don't actually participate in the bonus point system. I would rather put my money towards an Alaskan hunt, a DIY hunt over time for moose or maybe black bear, you know, maybe an adventure style hunt like New Zealand or, you know, even Texas Audad. To me, it makes more sense to chase those kinds of hunts than to chase bonus points in a state like Montana where the likelihood is that you will never draw. But again, I'm trying to address this for people that really want to look at these species in the various states and try to draw one of them in their lifetime. So Montana is also has, I guess I should mention this. So Montana has an unlimited sheep hunt. So they have a permit that you can apply for that allows you to hunt in units that are set up on a quota system. So essentially this permit, if you draw it, it's 100%. It's an unlimited permit, if you will, allows you to go in and hunt, and you can hunt until the quotas fill. Now there are some of those unlimited units where the quotas never get filled. There are some where they get filled. They're getting filled more regularly. Typically these areas are super remote. They are choked with grizzlies. A lot of these sheep are migratory, so they're coming in and out of the park, and it's really tough hunting. I did have a guy one time tell me that he thought if I would dedicate maybe 14 days in the summer, so 2 weeks of scout time in the summer, and then if I devoted a solid 30 to 40 days in the field hunting, that the likelihood of finding and killing a legal ram was pretty decent. Now, there just aren't that many people that can put that much time and effort into a hunt like that. But if bighorn sheep is really on your list, especially Rocky Mountain bighorn, and you want a chance to hunt those, the unlimited permit in Montana is essentially your only chance. And you can still do that. It's a really cool opportunity, and you're in for an adventure should you try to do it. But the chances of actually being able to harvest a permit are pretty slim to none. And like I said, it's a quota system, so you have to check the quota. They have a time frame, I believe it's 48 hours. You have to check that to make sure that there are still sheep that are available to hunt. The quota hasn't been filled. But yeah, unique, rare opportunity. We cover those hunts within your insider account. So if you want to look at the individual units where that's available to you, you can do that within your insider research account, but it is a really rare and unique opportunity. Nothing exists like it anywhere in the world. It's a chance to hunt Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep, essentially over the counter on a guaranteed permit. So pretty cool opportunity. The chances of harvesting are slim to nil anyway, but I did want to mention that. Another thing about Montana, you got to be aware of what, units have permits available, because they do tend to rotate those. So when you apply for sheep, moose, goat in the state of Montana, you want to check and make sure before you apply that there are actually permits that are going to be available to non-residents, and they do rotate those. I think I've heard through the grapevine that they'll actually allow you to apply for hunts that you have no chance of drawing as a non-resident. So you don't want to be that guy. You want to make sure that you apply for hunts that actually have permits available to non-residents. So a little bit of homework for you to do should you decide to apply in Montana. Montana is a great state for those species. Like I said, it's relatively cheap, and if you don't want to participate in the point system, you don't have to. So check that out. I'm going to jump down to Colorado. So Colorado is an interesting state in regards to these species. So they offer hunts for Shiras moose, also Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep, desert bighorn sheep, and mountain goat. Now, when you're talking Shiras moose hunting, there's no better state right now that exists than Colorado. They have the best Shiras moose hunting in the world. Just about any unit that you can draw, you would have the opportunity at a bull that's 40, you know, and there are a lot of these units that are actually killing 50-inch wide bulls out of. That's why it's so hard to stomach with what they've done with wolves in the state of Colorado, because I think those are going to be really tough on moose populations. But right now, currently, you are in the good old days of moose hunting in the state of Colorado. So definitely you might want to think about applying and looking at moose opportunities in the state. Now, Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep, those populations are decent. Their trophy potential isn't phenomenal in the state of Colorado, but they do issue a decent number of permits. Desert bighorn. So the statewide, they offer one non-resident desert bighorn sheep permit. The kind of the nuance, a little interesting fact about desert bighorn sheep applications in Colorado is that that is a completely random draw. There's no point system associated with it. You cannot apply for desert bighorn and Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep in the same year. So that's something to think about, because Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep, that draw system is a point system. So you got to kind of decide whether you want to participate in Rocky Mountain and build points over time to try to increase your odds of drawing, or if you want to apply for desert bighorn and just have a random chance, no point system, at drawing a desert bighorn tag there in the state. So a couple little nuances, things to consider. Mountain goat hunting in Colorado is pretty decent. And again, they offer some permits for non-resident, not a ton, but they still do offer a chance for you to apply. Probably the thing I should dive into in regards to Colorado. So Colorado has kind of a funky system currently for allocating permits for these species. So essentially what they do is they require applicants to build 3 preference points before they're actually even entered in the draw. Now, the cost of those preference points are $100 per species. So in reality, you would be $900 and 3 years into applying for those 3 species before you ever actually were entered into the draw. And that's a lot. And it's tough to stomach. Now, once you get to that 3 preference point total for one of those or all those species, you can then apply for hunts and you would be considered in the draw. And at that point, you can choose to participate or not participate in buying a point to continue. Now, if you don't buy a point, you're not going to be increasing your odds of drawing a permit over time. If you decide, you know, that you do want to purchase those points, you would keep building points over time and your odds of drawing a permit for those species does increase. So that's something that you want to think about and, you know, you want to consider. In talking about your odds increasing, so as I looked through it, your odds don't actually increase a ton. So it's a pretty minimal increase over 20 years, 25 years of applying for those species the way that they currently run their draw. So you have a judgment call to make. Do I want to spend, you know, potentially $300 for all 3 to apply for all 3 of those species and build points year over year for a 1%, 2%, maybe up to 3% difference in drawing a permit over the next 25, 30, 40 years? Personally, that's a tough one for me to stomach. Excuse me. And I don't continue to purchase preference points. Essentially, what I did is I bought my 3 preference points for those species to get me to a point where I was actually entered into the draw. And then I just apply. I don't buy the preference point. So Something to consider. You know, it's not a rosy picture, like I said, for a lot of these species, but if you want to draw, you got to play the game. And I definitely know people that draw permits. So, you know, you got to think about it. New Mexico. New Mexico would be the next day I'm going to touch on. So in New Mexico, you have to buy a $65 hunting license, and then you have to front the cost of the tag that you apply for. The draw in New Mexico is completely random, which is attractive. But in regards to applying, that high hurdle, like I said, is that you have to front the cost of the tag. So the cost for a bighorn sheep tag is $3,173, which is a lot of money. Now, if you don't draw, you would be refunded the cost of that license minus your hunting license that you have to buy to apply. But it is a fair amount of money to front. I mean, you're talking $3,170. There's a lot of people that, you know, can't necessarily front that much on a credit card or a debit card. And if you plan on applying for other species, you know, it can really pile up. I think at one time I applied for every species in the state of New Mexico, and I think I fronted that on, I want to say, two or three different credit cards, but the total bill was pushing $15,000-$19,000, I want to say. Now, I got most of that back, but it's definitely something that, well, it's there's a pucker factor in that when you're talking that much money for applying. In regards to sheep permits in the state of New Mexico, so New Mexico is going to typically allocate two desert bighorn sheep tags in the guide draw and two Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep tags in the guide draw. Now, New Mexico has three different pools of permits, essentially. So they have a resident pool of permits. They've got a non-resident pool of permits, and then they have a guide draw pool of permits. Now, residents and non-residents can apply in the guide draw. You do have to have an agreement signed with a guide or outfitter that's licensed there in the state of New Mexico, but you can apply in that guide draw, and the odds of drawing within that pool are better. In regards to sheep tags, you can see that there's two tags in that pool for Rockies and deserts, while in the regular non-resident draw, there's only one permit for Rockies and one permit for deserts. So double the number of permits in that guide draw, and the odds are better because there are fewer people that are willing to or have the capability to go on a guided hunt. So if you're looking to try to draw, I would suggest take a hard look, maybe get a hold of a guide or outfitter in the state of New Mexico and see if you can get an agreement put together and apply in that guide draw. Now, for everybody else, like I said, that's just applying in the regular non-resident draw, there's only going to be one permit for deserts and one permit for Rockies in the entire state. Now, when you apply in New Mexico, you actually have the opportunity to pick three choices, three desert or three Rockies, and then three deserts or Rockies kind of as your second choice. You can actually apply for both species with three choices each. And they're going to look at all three of your choices before they move to the next applicant. But the thing about it is there's only one Rocky and one desert permit allocated statewide. So in essence, the first guy off the pile, whatever his first choice is, they're going to allocate him the permit. Whoever the second guy is, as long as his first choice isn't the same as the first guy's choice, they're going to allocate him his first choice. And if not, they're going to look at his second choice and allocate it to him. So when you make your application, you got to decide kind of what you want to apply for as your first choice, what species, and then also what unit. I would tell you, swing for the fences, because like I said, the first guy off the pile is going to get the permit. And if you're going to draw that tag, you might as well get the best unit in terms of trophy potential and harvest success in the state. So that's kind of how New Mexico works. When I looked at the odds, I believe they're about 0.007%, I want to say, for those sheep species. And again, I would tell people, you know, be realistic with your expectations, but people do draw these. Lorenzo Sartini, who owns Go Hunt, the owner, founder, he does the Big Hunt Guys podcast with me. He actually drew a desert bighorn sheep tag in New Mexico. It's been probably, I would say, 10 years or so ago at least, but I personally know somebody that's drawn this permit. So people draw them. You do have to clear that hurdle of fronting the cost of the permit, but like I said, if you can do that, somebody is going to draw that permit. So you might as well get your name in the hat in a true, completely random draw where you're not really penalized for having not played the game for a lot of years like you are in a lot of other states. So think about New Mexico. I'm going to jump down on Nevada. So Nevada is a bonus point state, true bonus point state, meaning that your odds get better over time. It is a completely random draw. They do allow you 5 choices when you apply. You want to make sure that you include all 5 choices. The reason is they're going to look at all 5 of your choices when you apply before they move to the next applicant. So you want to make sure that you include 5 choices because maybe, you know, another guy selected your first choice and he drew the permit as his first choice, but then, you know, you drop down to your second choice and you're allocated that permit. Whereas if you only included 1 choice, they're going to just skip over your application, go to the next guy. So make sure that you include 5 choices. Also along those lines, make sure that you stagger that application with your hunt choices, best odds as your last choices, decent hunts, and your first choices, you want those to be your worst odds, but your best hunts. You want to swing for the fences with those first choices to make sure that you get the best permit that you possibly can, should you be the luckiest guy in the land. So those are a couple little nuances about Nevada. Another thing that I'd touch on in regards to species that you can apply for, you can actually apply for desert bighorns, you can apply for California bighorn, and you can also now apply for a mountain goat tag in the Rubies. Now, that mountain goat permit has only been back available for non-residents in Nevada maybe the last year or two, but it is a chance to draw a mountain goat tag. So you want to add that to your application in Nevada if you've already been applying in Nevada. When you look at Nevada, Nevada has poor odds, just like every other state. They're all less than 1% throughout the entire point range, whether that's 0 points up through a couple decades worth of applying. But Nevada is one of those states similar to Utah, I would say. If you're applying for other species like elk, deer, and antelope, and you're already going to buy the hunting license, you might as well throw in the application fee for these species like sheep, mountain goat, because you just never know and you might draw a random permit. So that's kind of how Nevada works. Nevada has really good desert sheep populations. They have good trophy potential. Nevada is a state that I think I always want to be applying in for desert bighorns. I kind of look at it as probably one of my best opportunities, to be honest, because, you know, I can't apply as a resident in Utah for desert bighorns. I've been applying for bison and I had to pick one. But I really look at Nevada as probably my one real decent chance to maybe draw a desert bighorn tag in my lifetime. Now, the odds are long. They're not good. But where I'm applying for other species, I always kind of look at it and think, what if? And, you know, I think it might be my best chance. So look at Nevada, specifically, like I said, for desert bighorns. Wyoming. So I'm going to talk about Wyoming. Wyoming has become probably one of the most frustrating states for me in the last few years. It feels like they really are always trying to stick it to non-residents. And it's continued in terms of these types of species. So I would say one of the first hurdles is that you have to front the cost of the tags that you apply for in Wyoming. So, for example, if you apply for a bighorn sheep tag in Wyoming, the cost of that tag is $3,017. If you're looking at a bull bison tag in Wyoming, you're talking $6,017. Mountain goat tag up there in Wyoming, you're talking $2,767. It's expensive. It's really expensive. If you decide to pay for those species, you have to front the cost of those should you apply. Now you get refunded all but processing fee for the cost of those if you're not successful in the draw, but it's still a lot of money to front for a decent amount of time. Another beef I've got with Wyoming. So Wyoming in 2023. They split their moose, sheep, bison, and mountain goat allocations between resident and non-residents from, I believe, I want to say it was 80-20. But right now, currently, it's 90% allocated to residents and 10% allocated to non-residents. What that did is that draw split changed pretty dramatically the number of non-residents that were had a chance to draw a permit. Enough so that with the way their draw system works, in a lot of cases, I'm going to point it out here in a second, it really doesn't even make sense to apply for a bighorn sheep tag or a moose tag, because you don't really even have a chance to draw with the way their system's set up. So the way their system is set up is it's a preference point system with a random component. So it's kind of a hybrid system, right? And essentially what they've done with this permit between this permit split between residents and non-residents is there aren't enough permits to actually make any random permits available in the draw. So the only permit that's available for bighorn sheep, for those units that have a tag, they go to the high preference point holder. So there's no random permit allocated. Therefore, under their current system, anybody that applies with less than, you know, 24, 25 preference points has absolutely no chance of drawing. Moose, if you look at the moose draws, there was only one hunt that issued a random permit. The rest of those non-resident permits were only allocated to high point holders in the draw. So if you have less than, like I said, 23, 24 preference points potentially, and in some cases maybe a bit more, you really have no chance of drawing. So there's really no point in applying if you have less than that many points in the state of Wyoming. Now, Wyoming does give you the option of buying preference points between July and October. Currently, like I said, if you've got less than, you know, 20 points, and really you'd have to look at the breakdown of how many applicants there are in the system ahead of you. But really, if you're less than that many points, it really does not make any sense to spend $150 to buy a preference point for moose and bighorn sheep in the state of Wyoming. The one caveat is that if Wyoming were to change their draw system, say that they were to go to a bonus point system where the number of points you had increased your chances of drawing a random tag, if they change that, then you would want to have had those points to increase your odds. But it's really hard for me currently, and I don't hear any talk about their draw system changing. So I guess my advice and what I do is I actually don't apply for bighorn sheep. I don't apply for moose in Wyoming, and I don't buy preference points. There's just no likelihood that I'll ever hunt those species in the state of Wyoming as a non-resident, which sucks, but that's just the reality of it. I just don't think it's worth it. When we jump over to species like bison and mountain goat, so mountain goat and bison in the state of Wyoming is a random draw. So there is no preference or bonus point system for those species in that state. Bison is so expensive, I can't justify fronting the cost of it. You know, in any bull bison tag, $6,017, I can't justify fronting that money. But mountain goat is interesting, and the odds are decent for mountain goat hunts that are available to non-residents. There's actually, I think, 3 units at this time that you can apply for. So if you can front that cost, which is, you know, $2,767, if you can front that for a random chance to draw a mountain goat tag in Wyoming, I still think that's worth it. But long odds. You know, I looked at the odds. Those are all less than 1%. In fact, a lot of them are, I want to say, less than 0.5%. But yeah, Wyoming's tough, man. They've really made it hard on non-residents. And I'm not necessarily complaining. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. But man, it feels like there's a lot of hurdles there for non-residents to try to clear to even want to get into the system in Wyoming for those species. Next state, I'm going to jump down to Washington. So I do not typically talk about Washington. The reason I tell people most often, you know, don't apply in Washington is because the odds are extremely tough, and I just don't think that it's worth the cost. I'm typically referring to things like deer, elk. But I wanted to talk about bighorn sheep, mountain goat, and moose in the state of Washington and kind of how their draw system works. So their application per species up there for those is going to be $110. You only pay the cost of the tag should you be successful in the draw. So if you wanted to apply for bighorn sheep, mountain goat, and moose, you're going to be into that $330, which is no small chunk of change. Interesting fact about Washington is that there is no non-resident resident split in the quotas for permits. So every applicant, regardless of the residency, is essentially on the same playing field. Their draw system is a bonus point random draw, meaning the more bonus points you accrue, the better your odds. But in looking at the odds, again, they're still much less than 1% through the entire range of points, which at this stage of the game is about 30 years old. If you can believe it, people have been applying and building points for 30 years. So for me, it's still a tough state for me to justify. But if you got $330 you want to put in for a random chance to draw, you may take a look at Washington for probably moose, sheep, and goat. Really probably only sheep and goat, to be honest. And they do have some nice sheep up there. But again, just a tough one to justify. The next state, just to the south, Oregon, it's another state that I typically just don't talk about because I tell people it's really not worth it. Oregon is semi-interesting, I would say, for these types of species. If you are set, if you're trying to draw a bighorn sheep tag or a mountain goat tag, I would actually consider Oregon. So Oregon has no bonus or preference point system for bighorn sheep or mountain goat. It's a completely random draw. So everybody's on equal playing field, which I think is kind of an important thing to think about when you're looking at these species. You do have to buy, as a non-resident, $172 hunting license, and you would only be charged the $1,513 tag fee if you're successful in the draw. Your odds of drawing, like I said, still less than 1%, but for $172 plus maybe an application fee, random chance of drawing, no point system, you might want to take a look at Oregon. And they do have good opportunities for mountain goat and bighorn sheep to kill some good mountain goats out of Oregon. Again, it just comes down to what you can justify. How much money can you put into this pursuit and trying to draw a permit for one of these species over a lifetime? And really, you know, I reiterated, I probably said it at the first of the podcast, but I want to reiterate it. It really boils down to a cost-benefit analysis. How much are you willing to pour into these efforts? How much extra income do you have that you can just throw at a less than 1% chance of drawing one of these permits over a lifetime? And a lot of us, we can't, but there's definitely some that can. And again, everybody's values are different. California, I wanted to note California. So there isn't a ton of talk about in regards to California. Primarily I'm speaking of desert bighorn sheep. The reason is you do have to buy a hunting license, which is a $216 hunting license. And then the state can issue maybe up to 10% of the permits to non-resident, but there's no guarantee. What that means is that if you look across the allocations of desert bighorn sheep tags in the state of California, it's not always that they even actually allocate a desert bighorn sheep tag to a non-resident. So, you know, for the cost of the hunting license, the cost to apply, there's actually no guarantee that they'll even allocate a permit to non-residents. So, tough state. That's a tough one for me to swallow, and I wouldn't recommend it. One state that I have kind of missed, I wanted to jump back and hit it, would be Arizona. So Arizona, when you're talking Arizona, you're primarily talking desert bighorn sheep. There are some bison that you can apply for and hunt in the state of Arizona. I'll talk a little bit about those bison opportunities. They're not incredible. Most of those bison come in and out of the national park there. They can be extremely tough to hunt, especially without a guide. If you are willing to go guide, I would definitely say take a look at applying for bison. Arizona. So I'm going to talk mostly, like I said, about desert bighorn sheep, because there are great sheep in Arizona. They really do manage those for quality experiences, quality animals. So that's on my bucket list. I always apply for Arizona bighorn sheep and hope that I'll draw. Chances are pretty slim. But like I said, where I'm applying for other species, I think it makes sense to throw in my application for desert bighorn for that extra $15 app fee. Arizona, you do have to buy a hunting license to apply. So you're going to be $160 into applying just for the license in order to apply. Plus, you're going to pay an application fee per species. Arizona allows you to apply. You get two choices on your application. They will consider both of your hunt choices. Arizona's draw system, they only allow 10% of the total tags statewide to be offered to a non-resident. So no more than 50% of any given hunt can be allocated to a resident or to a non-resident. So if you've got maybe 2 to 3 tags, one of those can be allocated to a non-resident. If you've got 4 tags or more for an individual hunt, there is going to be allocated up to two of those can be allocated to non-residents. But there is that, like I said, that statewide quota that has to get met, which is 10% for non-residents. As you look through Arizona, their draw system is kind of, it's a split hybrid, if you will. So essentially, it's a bonus point system where the number of bonus points you accrue is going to increase your chances of drawing, and a percentage of permits, about 20%, is going to be allocated to the people with the most bonus points that apply. Reality is that most desert bighorn sheep tags in the state of Arizona that are allocated to non-residents are allocated in the random draw. There's some strategy when you apply in Arizona. You don't want to apply for the best of the best trophy units, because those permits are going to be allocated to the people with the most bonus points. Typically, you kind of want to look at those hunts that are mid-tier options, the options that offer more permits. And again, the trophy quality in those is not typically the best, but that does represent the best chance for you to actually draw a permit. The odds of drawing are extremely low. We did have a success story in our own office. We had a kid that drew that worked for us. I think he had 4 points. He drew a good sheep tag in the state of Arizona a couple of years ago and killed a great ram. So again, it does make sense to apply as long as you're already applying and buying that hunting license to apply for other species like elk, deer, and antelope. So that kind of wraps up Rams Through the States that we cover. I know that was probably, I guess I didn't even touch Alaska. I probably should real quick. So Alaska is probably your best opportunity to actually hunt a sheep species, and that's Dall sheep. There are permits that are available through a draw. There's also permits that you can buy over the counter. But the one major hangup for non-residents is that you do have to have a guide or an outfitter to hunt Dall sheep in the state of Alaska. So if you can get yourself a guide or an outfitter and get the over-the-counter permit for the unit they guide in, or if you draw a permit and you can get with a guide and outfitter, that's really a good opportunity for you to actually get out and go sheep hunting. It's also super expensive. I haven't looked at the current cost of actually going on a Dall sheep hunt, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's in excess of, you know, $25,000, $30,000, maybe even potentially $40,000, which isn't in the realm of most of us. So that's kind of the thing with sheep in Alaska. Alaska also has over-the-counter moose hunting still. I would say if you're looking at doing a moose hunt, that's your best bet, and you definitely want to get on that. It's hard to say how much longer these opportunities are going to persist. Alaska is also one of those states where it does feel like there is an onslaught of attacks against non-residents, people coming up there to hunt caribou, hunt moose over the counter. It does feel like those opportunities are starting to tighten down. So I would say if you want to hunt moose, I would get on it sooner than later. That kind of covers those. You know, there's probably a few others I missed, and I know that this was probably thrown together a little frantically, if you will. I know that as I was trying to prep for this podcast, I was making a bunch of notes and I was looking through all the individual states and really, you know, going back and refreshing myself. And as I started to put this together, I thought, man, this could come off as being really confusing. My hope is that, you know, there were some take homes in here that made some sense, that's going to at least help you to know where to start your research. I guess to wrap up, I would tell you the take home messages are, if you want to draw one of those species, I would say apply for those species in states that you are also already applying for deer, elk, and antelope. So those states for me would be states like Utah. I know that I can go on a general season deer tag hunt every maybe 3 to 5 years as a non-resident. So I think that's a good opportunity. So that's going to keep me buying that $120 hunting license. And while I'm at it, I might as well pay the application fee per species for a random chance to draw one of those once-in-a-lifetime permits. I feel real similarly about the state of Arizona. Again, if I'm going to buy the $160 hunting license to apply for elk and deer and antelope, I'm also going to apply for bighorn sheep, because there is a portion of those permits that are randomly allocated. I might as well have my name in the hat for one of those. Nevada, random draw. Again, you know, the cost of that hunting license to me is worth it, because I can go on an archery mule deer hunt, maybe an archery antelope hunt every few years. And in the meantime, I'm applying for California bighorn, I'm applying for mountain goat, I'm applying for desert bighorn, and I'm just hoping that I get lucky and draw a permit. So those are three states that I would kind of fit in the same category. I think Montana is definitely worth applying for these species. It may not be worth it to purchase the bonus points for those species. It's pretty cheap to actually apply. The bonus points are $75. It may not be worth it for you to buy those over time, but I do think it's worth having your name in the hat just in the random chance you might draw. Colorado, I think it's worth building the three preference points that are required to actually get you in the draw. Above and beyond that, I don't know that it's worth it. For me, it's not worth that $300 cost for a preference point for each one of those species year over year. I just don't think my odds increase enough that I can justify that cost. Oregon, I already mentioned it, but there are some states. Oregon might be worth it. $172 for a random chance. That one might be an option for you. Idaho, again, that's a completely random draw, similar to Oregon. New Mexico, completely random draw. The thing that I think is maybe a bit more attractive about Oregon and Idaho is that if I buy that hunting license, I could also use that to go on another hunt. So in Idaho, I could buy an over-the-counter deer tag when those go on sale in December. I could buy an over-the-counter elk tag maybe. Oregon, you know, I could buy an over-the-counter elk tag and maybe go out and hunt the coast with the born and raised guys or something if I wanted to. The thing about New Mexico is really you have to front a lot of money, and you're not going to ultimately be out a ton of cash. You're only going to be out, you know, $65 for the hunting license plus maybe some application fees. But you're not really getting really, you know, anything out of that. You know, there are not really any other permits that you could buy, but really all you're getting is a random chance. Let's see, what other states have I not talked about? Wyoming, I don't think Wyoming is worth applying for moose and bighorn sheep. I don't think it's worth buying preference points. I think they've pretty well, you know, cut a lot of non-residents out of that state. I think if there is one species that's probably worth applying for, it's probably mountain goat. And again, you do have to front the cost of that, which is going to be, you know, $2,200 or so. So that would be the one that I would say, you know, take a good hard look at that. California, not worth applying for, in my opinion. Washington, it's Judgment Call, I think it's probably too expensive, $110 per species. So I don't necessarily think Washington's a great opportunity for people applying. And I think that kind of rounds it out. I think I covered them all. So I know that you guys will probably have questions. If you got questions, reach out to me, shoot me an email or drop me a DM. And to the young gentleman that sent me a message and asked if I would cover this in a podcast, I hope that this didn't defeat you too much. Again, I think there are these species that are worth applying for. I just think you got to be smart and you got to try to make the most of your dollar when you're applying. So hopefully I didn't burst your bubble too much. Reality is, and it sucks, is that most of us will never draw one of these permits. Most of us just got in the game, the system, way too late. And reality is we'll probably never get a chance to hunt one of these. We can appreciate them. You know, we can root and cheer on for people that actually do draw these permits. Maybe you get a chance to hunt with a buddy or a friend or a family member. I would say definitely think about capitalizing on those opportunities should they come around. Because the reality is that you'll probably never draw, myself included. So hopefully I didn't burst your bubble too much. But yeah, reach out if you got questions. Let me know if there are any other topics that you want me to cover. I know this one probably isn't going to pertain to as wide an audience as maybe a gear podcast might. But hopefully I answered some questions for some folks that are out there. Leave me a review. If you hate this one, leave me a review. And that'd be okay. I'm okay with that. If you liked it, leave me a good review. And it's going to help me grow the podcast. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. I'll be back in the next couple weeks. We'll dive into some gear. We'll dive into some maybe archery tips and tactics and tricks. Like I said, I've been playing with this new Matthews Lift X bow. I got some new gear on that I'm tinkering with. So maybe we'll dive into some of that on upcoming podcasts. But I hope you guys have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with friends and family. Get outside. Look at some mule deer. The bucks are rutting. So if you're fortunate enough to live in the West, man, my favorite tradition used to be I'd take Thanksgiving afternoon. I'd run out and I'd look for mule deer bucks. So hopefully you guys get out. Get a chance to enjoy the outdoors, eat some pie, and enjoy your time with friends and family. So with that, we'll catch you on the next one.